Good morning. I'm not sure if it was the way the Lord was working or somebody has a good sense of humor, but whoever picked out the music, the first song was Revive Us Again. And my message today is about the elderly. So it was a perfect fit. I've been thinking about this a while. The only reason I feel qualified to speak on this is I have my official AARP card. When I first saw it in the mail, I thought this is the wrong one, but it's got my name spelled on it correctly, so it is mine. I just turned 50 a week or so ago, and been given a hard time about that. So I joined the club, whatever club that is. I just want to tell you that I got kicked out of the senior center the other day. That was kind of a good thing. They thought that I was too young, so I was thankful for that. But they reinstated me on Friday, so I get to go back in. My brother Andy, I don't know if he's still here or not, Andy Burgess, but he invited me to play pickleball, and we played pickleball for about 3 or 4 hours on Friday. And those older ladies wore me out. I could barely get out of the bed the next morning. But I would, all joking aside, I would encourage you to check it out. I didn't even know it was there. It's up across from the old rec center. And it's free. Technically, you're supposed to be, I think, 55 or above to use all of the facilities. I got in on a technicality. If you're 50, you can play in the senior games. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to the senior games, but if you're 50 or above, you can play pickleball. So I've enjoyed doing that and just getting to see the older people like me out there exercising and smiling and want me to come back, and just the heart that they had for just welcoming people there. You can eat lunch there for $1. They bring in Golden Corral. A meal for $1. They had free ice cream for us after we got through playing. Just an awesome place. So I'd encourage you, if you meet the requirements, to check that out. It's a cool place. Just starting off this message, I want to tell you a story about this old couple. They were in their upper 80s or lower 90s, and they were actually going about 80 or 90 down the road. A policeman pulled them over and said, "What in the world are y'all doing? Where are you going?" And the man, the husband in the passenger side, looked over and said, "I told her to step on it before we forgot where we were going." So that may happen to me today, so remember, I'm 50, so if I forget where I am, please give me grace. Okay, the first thing I'd like to think of is been thinking about getting older, aging, thinking about people that I love getting older and aging. The average U.S. male in the United States lives to 76. The average U.S. female lives to about 81. So I'm in the third quarter, close to the fourth quarter. So I know there's several of us here that are in the third or fourth quarter of our life if we go by the averages. So hopefully the young kids, I've got hopefully something for you here at the beginning about respecting our elders, but looking to them for advice and for guidance. If you will turn to Leviticus 19:32. You can just start here, and then there's several different verses skipping around. So if you just want to listen or write them down, or may not be able to turn to all of them. Leviticus 19:32, and this is for especially the younger generation. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. And this is just talking about, I think about maybe being in New York City or a big city, and everybody's in the subway and everybody's seated running for a seat. And then you see maybe an elderly lady with a cane walking in, and nobody gets up to offer their seat. And I know over the years that the respect and admiration for the elderly in our country has gone down. And I just when you do see that young man or a young person get up and open the door or offer a seat, it does something for my heart to see someone that still practices that. So I just want to encourage the young people to honor the older people, to respect them. Proverbs 16:31 says, The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. Then Proverbs 20:29 says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. I see a few gray heads around. It doesn't say anything here about bald heads. Mine's getting balder, but I think the emphasis is the same, that we show respect, and it's a crown of glory, especially if they are godly men and women, and you see someone with gray hair, that they're to be honored and respected, that's a crown of glory that they have on their head. 1 Timothy 5:1-2 says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. I think this is saying here that when you have, and this is the way I am, it's kind of my personality, but I think it's you can get it from here, is that when you're in a group and maybe there's a discussion going on, that the younger ones maybe defer to the older ones. Let them speak first. Listen to what the aged or the older person says to get their wisdom, because they've been around longer, they've experienced more than we have. And then after that, if it's permissible or if it's the right time, then the ones that are younger may say something. But give the time for the older to speak. Don't rebuke an older man, but treat him as your father. Don't backtalk or say something hateful to an older lady, but treat him as your mother. Treat him with respect and honor. Deuteronomy 32:7 says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. One thing that I think is very important here is to make sure you remember when you're going through a big decision. And I've been going through a decision, and today's message has helped me with that, about when to retire. And I've been thinking about it, and mainly for selfish reasons, thinking about being free, being able to do what I want to do. And this message, I think, the Lord has had for me is, it's not about me, but it's about Him. So I just want to encourage the younger people again, older people as well, to go to someone when you have a big major decision. There's wisdom in the older people. Go and ask them, say, I know you might have been through this before. How would you deal with this retirement issue? What would you advise me to do? And ask for prayer and wisdom from someone that has been through it before. I think about our brother Steve, who runs a C-12 group, and he goes and meets with 24, 36 men every month or two and gives them wisdom. So they're looking to him for godly wisdom on how to run a business God's way. I think it's very important that we don't repeat mistakes when we can go to the people that are older, more experienced, and ask them for help. Job 12:12 says, wisdom is with aged men, and with length of days understanding. Wisdom is with aged men, and with length of days understanding. So this first section, this first part of the my talk this morning is basically respect the elders, look to them for advice, don't think that you know it all, treat them with respect and kindness, and go to them for help. I read a story, it was in a Billy Graham book that I was reading, and told of an older lady, I think she was about 75, had never been saved. And she got saved that year when she was 75 years old, and she just prayed and prayed, "Lord, let me have some type of ministry. I've not been able to serve you with my first 75 years. I just want to finish well." And the Lord, the way the Lord works, brought a Chinese young girl, teenager, to her. And she basically just shared what the Lord had done in her life. The 75-year-old lady shared with the Chinese student. And the Chinese student was so enthralled by it, and it meant so much, that she invited her friend. And then that friend invited another friend. Before several weeks or a month or so, when she had 70 Chinese students come into her house, and she was telling her testimony and teaching God's word to them. The way the Lord works, and the thing about that is, and my mom's been to China, and she knows a whole lot more about this than I do, but they really respect the elders in China. So that God used her specifically to reach those Chinese students because they had a heart for older people. They respected them and respected their wisdom. So it's just amazing how the Lord works. Even she hadn't been saved for probably weeks or months, and God was able to use her even though she was on up in years. Okay, next I would like to talk about verses about God using. That's a kind of a go-between, how God can use us when we get older, when we get into that third and fourth quarter. If you will, please turn to Psalms 71. Psalm 71. You hear about a lot of people retiring, getting older. They get depressed. They're just sitting in the house watching television. They don't have really they don't see a purpose. And this is about how when we get older, when we maybe retire from our vocation, occupation, that God can still use us and maybe even use us in a more extreme way. I think it was Noah was about 500 before he started building the ark. Moses was about 80 when God called him to lead the people out of Egypt. Abraham was about 100 when he was the father of many nations. So that shows you right there with those age that God can use. I don't think anybody here is above 100. I'm pretty sure nobody here is 500, so we still got time. We've still got time for God to use us. God can use us no matter what our age. Psalm 71, 17 and 18. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. The psalmist here is asking God to stay with him throughout his old age because he wanted to share God's truth with the next generation. He had a heart for the next generation, wanted God to give him the strength to be able to do that. He wasn't asking for a life of peace and nothing to do, but he was asking for God to be with him to share with the next generation. Psalm 78, if you'll just flip over a few chapters. Psalm 78. Four through six. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. This is just talking about, I think, about Timothy and his grandmother. I think about my grandmother, about my mom and my mother-in-law, how they are to their grandchildren, how they share God's word with their grandchildren. From one, they shared it with me, and then the next generation, it just keeps on going from one generation to the next. I know we have a lot of grandparents here. I'm just looking around how they love their grandchildren and how they are praying for their grandchildren, for their children to be saved. We heard that testimony this morning of a lady that had been praying for 2.5 years for our brother Tim, and the results of that prayer came true this week at Skyland. So we're just so thankful that we have grandparents that pray and share God's word with the next generation. Psalm 92, 12 through 15 says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." I thought this kind of summed up what I'm trying to say in this portion in verse 14. They shall still bear fruit in the old age. They shall still bear fruit. And we're getting ready to go here and show you the testimony of Reidsville Bible Chapel on the, I don't know the right way to say it, the older people have had in this community, that they shall bear fruit in the old age. And I can testify that that is the case here at Reidsville Bible Chapel, that the older are bearing fruit in their old age in this chapel, in this community. It's just been just thinking about it has encouraged me so much. It's not normal what y'all are doing. It's not normal with the world, but it's just a tremendous testimony, as we'll see in a minute. Next, Isaiah 46:4, "Even to your old age I am He, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you." Here, God has given a promise, even to our old age, He is God, He is He. "And even to gray hairs I will carry you." He will carry us even when we're not able to walk or maybe not able to drive. He's still there with us. There's still things we can do for Him through prayer, through an encouraging note. There are things that we can do even maybe when our bodies won't let us do what we want to do. Philemon chapter 1, it's only one chapter, verse 9 and 10. "Yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. This is another example. Paul, now he started off probably younger or middle age, and wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament, was probably the greatest missionary that ever lived. But when he got older, he didn't say, "Well, I've done enough, it's somebody else's time." When he was in jail, when he called himself the aged, he was still sharing the gospel, and Onesimus was the benefit of that, got saved there in jail through Paul when he was older. Luke chapter 2, if you will turn to this, please. Luke chapter 2, this is a little bit longer section. I just thought this was neat, this next section, about how God honored two older people in this scripture. He honored them. He remembered their name. We see their name here. It was recorded. And I'm thinking, well, wonder why he picked these two out. Why did he pick them out? I think one reason may be that to show older people that God loves them, that He respects them, and that He will honor faithfulness in the older generation. If you look at Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Just thinking, I probably read my Bible too fast, wasn't really focused on this when I had read it before, but just thinking about Simeon and Anna, how they had been faithful to the Lord throughout their life to their old age, and how God honored them right here. What better way to honor them than let them see the Messiah, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I just think that's a testimony to God loving elderly people, showing them that he blesses those that are faithful, and he honors them in this section. And I believe the same will be done for the ones that are faithful here today. Okay, now I don't know if this is proper to do or not, and I talked to Lisa about it last night, and she told me to take the names away. I had the names and things that I could think of. This is not an exhaustive list of things that people here have done for the Lord. Older people, younger people, y'all will maybe get a time later, but basically I was thinking about people that are maybe in the fourth quarter, people that maybe have retired from their main vocation and now they have more time. And what did they choose to do with that time? So please, I hope this doesn't offend anyone. It's to encourage, it encouraged my heart. It's to encourage the ones that are doing the work's heart and encouraging the younger ones to keep on keeping on with the example that they're teaching us. So I'm just going to, this is, like I said, not exhaustive. This is just the things that I could think of. These are some things that the older people here at the chapel that I know of have been doing: teaching Good News Club at local schools, leading gospel outreach at the downtown Reidsville Fall Festival, serving saints by preparing meals, making the best cheesecake I've ever eaten, leading missions programs, shepherding the flock prayerfully, serving faithfully and humbly while fighting cancer, faithful helper to her husband, organizing fellowship, loves own grandchildren, spends time taking care of an elderly couple, teaching God's word in Sunday school in the family Bible hour, taking care of grandkids and teaching the ways of the Lord, coordinating a course on the importance of worship, organizing ladies' retreat, keeping us cool in the summer and warm in the winter. Sometimes I'm a little bit too cold sitting in that corner, but I sacrifice for the good of the people in the middle. Playing the organ, playing the piano, keeping things organized and serving in the kitchen, teaching kids to read, write, and live for Christ, adopt children and love them unconditionally, teach God's word on the Bible bus, spreading the gospel throughout the county, the country, through Good News on the Move, sharing the gospel through one-on-one contacts, teaching young ladies God's Word, supporting husband in his ministry, teaching youth Bible study, teaching in conferences throughout the U.S., and I think maybe Canada, I have to check on that, teaching Sunday school, sharing the gospel through Easter egg hunts, organizing the banquet for Bible in the schools, fighting for godly principles in our government, leading and organizing the shoebox ministry, bringing God's Word to life for our children in Bible school and camps for children with disabilities, providing meals for Christian fundraisers and functions, teaching businessmen and women how to run a business God's way, leading Rockingham Council of Bible Education, organizing Skyland Bible Conference, and we see the fruit of that this morning, teaching young ladies to be good Christian wives and mothers, teaching children the foundations of God's Word, taking care of elderly parents, battling cancer with dignity and grace, encouraging others with a kind and quiet spirit, loving their children unconditionally, teaching Bible study fellowship, BSF, discipling young women who are thirsting for God's Word, and praying daily for the lost. When I just read over this, and like I said, this is just probably a tip of the iceberg. It just amazed me just going over this. It encouraged me so much just seeing what the Lord has done through y'all. And I just want to thank y'all for being such a great example on how to finish the race. It's amazing just looking at this, what y'all have done through the Lord. I know you would give credit to God for that, to Christ. These are some of the verses that I thought of about y'all after I went through and thought about this list. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And that's what it did for me. I looked at these good works and I just gave glory to God that this is not normal for people to do this, to be self-sacrificing and to give in this way. It can only be through Christ. It's the only way that can happen. And then this one goes with the mothers, but I thought it was fit in Proverbs 31, woman. "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." And this is nothing that y'all are doing. I'm the one that's saying it. I know y'all would never brag about this, but I'm just want to sing the praises of what y'all have done through Christ this morning and encourage you in that. Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Y'all been another great example of that, that you're laying up your treasures in heaven and not focusing on things of earth, but things of heaven. I think because of this, the things that I can think of, the things that just the tip of the iceberg. I thought about that verse. I don't have it written down, but it was talking about how Jesus, they were saying it would take all the scrolls in the world to write down everything Jesus had done. And that's the way I started thinking about what y'all had done, that if everything that's just my little forgetful mind that I could think of and things that I don't know about, that it would take scrolls and scrolls to write down what just the people here had done. And then I thought about the verse that connected to that, that Jesus said, "Greater things than these will you do." And I'm starting to understand that verse a little more, that he sent his Spirit to live into all of us, and y'all are able to go and do even more things than he was able to do while he was here on earth. So it's just a tremendous testimony on what y'all have done, and I want to thank you for that. This is the thing that I think that y'all are going to hear. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." By accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, living for Him, this is what I know that y'all are working for. You're not working for money or working for fame, but to hear your Savior say, "Good and well done, thy faithful servant." And I believe that y'all are going to hear that. Those words are just tremendous, tremendous testimony. I didn't know if I would get to that. I kind of wanted to end right there, but I was afraid it was going to be some more time left. So I don't, this next part is a challenge to the older people, including me. I kind of wish I could end right there on that note, but remember that we haven't forgot that note, okay? That was my main purpose, was to encourage y'all to thank you for what you've done and the example you've set for me and for my family. Okay, next, I believe by looking at what y'all have done that your spiritual house is in order, that you've got the main thing's the main thing. You're following Jesus Christ. There also is a second part, and y'all know me, thinking about finances. So this is something to try to help you, maybe help you, hopefully, as you enter in that fourth quarter. If you will, turn to Genesis 27. I don't know if I'll read all of this because it's a long section. I may just read a few verses and try to summarize it because it's kind of long. Genesis 27. "Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, 'My son?' And he answered him, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out on the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die.' Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, saying, 'Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau your brother, saying, "Bring me game and some savory food that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I have commanded you. Go now in the flock and bring me from the two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall go to your father that he may eat and he may bless you before his death.' And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, 'Look, Esau my brother is a hairy man and I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing.' But his mother said to him, 'Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me.' And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which was in her house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids on the goat, on his hands, and on the smooth part of the neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am. Who are you, my son?' Jacob said to his father, 'I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me.' But Isaac said to his son, 'How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?' And he said, 'Because the Lord your God has brought it to me.' Isaac said to Jacob, 'Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not.' So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, And he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to me and he ate, and he brought them wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over you, brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and bless those who bless you." Now as it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Okay, I'll stop right there, but most of y'all know the story. Esau comes in and finds out that Jacob had deceived him, that he'd gone in earlier and got the blessing that he was supposed to get. He still did get a blessing, but not the blessing that he was supposed to get. And I have seen this down in verse 41. It says, "So Esau hated Jacob, his brother, because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I kill my brother Jacob.'" And this is the point. Like I said before, I did not get this perspective before. Normally I think about Jacob. I think about my son Jacob. Hopefully he's not a deceiver. I think about Esau. I'm the oldest, and maybe I got shortchanged on something. But the thing here that I want to emphasize to us as older, or when you get older, is that putting your house in order. Okay? Isaac was older. He was trying to give an inheritance. We see in Proverbs 13:22, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." So he was trying to do right. He was trying to give an inheritance to be a blessing to his children. But it ended up where it ended up being a curse immediately. I know God worked it all out in the end, but at first it turned out that they hated each other. Esau wanted to kill Jacob. I know that's not what Isaac had in mind. Okay? So my encouragement to me and to you is not to wait too late. I've seen this in my own life in the last 5 or 6 years, how when someone passes away and things maybe are not in order, it can cause stress and bitterness and anger between people. And I know you as a older person, father or mother, you don't want to leave that pain or heartache to your kids. You love your kids. You want it to be a blessing, not a curse. So that's what I'm trying to get across, that to leave your house in order. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Dropping down to verse 40, it says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." So just wanted to end with that. There's a book here that I've got, and I'm ashamed to say it's empty. I've had it probably 3 or 4 years. It's Crown Financial Ministries, but this has encouraged me or prodded me to try to get this done. I was thinking the other day, just on practical part, is I don't get a lot of stuff in the mail, like from insurance companies, from if I have a little bit of money in a 401k or something, I don't get a lot of that. A lot of that's on the computer. And then I start thinking, now, they say it's to save paper. I'm wondering if when some people die, nobody ever claims it and they're keeping it. I don't know that, okay? So it's just my mind wondering that you have to, it would be better for me to have this written down where Lisa, Jenna, and Jacob knows where everything is, to save them from having to search for it, maybe never find it. I sure don't want Jenna and Jacob fighting over the nickel that maybe I have left. at the end. So I want to, whatever I do have, if there's anything left, I want it to be a blessing to them, that they can, and hopefully, this is the more important part, that they have got instilled godly principles so that they, because it can't, I found this out, it can't be perfectly even, where they'll have godly characters where the one will say, Jenna, you go first. You get to pick this 1991 car or whatever it is. You get this first and defer instead of fighting over the same thing, that they will do it in a godly way. So my encouragement to you is, and from the list that I've read, I know that you've done it, is you've invested in their spiritual counsel where at the end they will be able to do it. But I think the part that we can do is, parents or grandparents, whatever the case is, that we can make it as easy as we can on them to help them go through our inheritance. But today, the main message today is thank you for the testimony and example that y'all have set for me and my family and others on how to run the race until the end. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Our Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings you've given to us. We thank you for the blessing of these many testimonies that I have been able to remember. I know I've forgotten many or don't know about many that people are doing. Forgive me for that. But I just want today to encourage the people that are closer to the finish line than others. Just thank them for the way that they're running the race to the end and honoring Christ. It's been amazing to me to see how you have used them, how you have done greater things through these, your children, by giving them your Holy Spirit. And I just love you and thank you for just giving me the chance to see them and being at this place where people take your word seriously and they love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, their soul, and their mind. I just want to thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen.